The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
The final gay. Yes. No, I like that a lot.
The final gay.
What? Listen up.
Isn't that more of a thing?
Listen up, Hollywood. We have an idea.
Yeah. But that's a whole new spectrum of horror movies. Because, I mean, the final girl has been the trope for, what, 35, 40 years?
A long time. Yeah.
Right. So now you have the final gay.
Well, I mean,
even looking back to 1968 with Night of the Living Dead, where you got Judith O'Day that trips and then kicks her heels off, which became just a thing that all the final girls did
yeah.
at some point, was like kick off their heels to run away from the
There's
big
so many
bad.
Tropes, right?
Oh, yeah. And so that was 68 we're talking about. So it's like 50 years of just final girls, basically.
Yep.
Or that kind of trope stuff. And the final gays. I think it's time.
It's time.
It's definitely
past
time.
Yeah.
Yep.
They haven't even gone with like even the gay tropes of like the like butch lesbian that saves the day with like a chainsaw.
There's so
like
many
that.
Opportunities.
So many opportunities.
And it's funny when you hear people talk about like the need for fresh perspectives and ideas in horror in general. Like it's there. You just gotta welcome that.
Go
and
for
open,
it. Oh,
be
absolutely.
Open to that, yeah.
The only one that I felt like took a slight turn into a new territory was with Cabin in the Woods when the stoner is the hero.
Is the hero, yeah.
He's the one that comes out of nowhere and, you know, saves the day.
I love when rules are broken like that.
Well, and you were talking about fresh perspectives, and that was actually one of my choices, was specifically thinking in that regard of that, you know, one thing that I really like with, let's say, like Jordan Peele stuff and women becoming more involved in the making of horror movies. I love that because, again, you said fresh perspective. You're going to get the same movie over and over again if it's done by people with a similar background and perspective.
Exactly.
You have people that come from different walks of life, different ways of being raised differently, are going to bring new, interesting concepts that people haven't thought of before. That's where you're getting stuff like Get Out.
Right.
Which is fucking fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Lucha Gore, which is a new production company, and it's this one wonderful woman. Are you familiar?
The look on his
no,
face.
I was like,
yeah.
Lucha Gore.
No, I mean, the title alone,
I think
I'm like,
you're just excited.
You should
it's
blow down
awesome. It's this badass woman. They're out of Canada. They're making really cool horror right now, so check them out. They have a lot of good
making
stuff to.
Notes.
And Lucha Gore is just a really cool name.
Yeah, I would say Lucha Gore, yeah, that's definitely a woo. So is it more indie film? And there's like
yeah,
a releasing
so,
company?
Yeah,
or...
the main woman, her name is escaping me. Her last name is Guerrero. She did one of the Into the Dark series. She did that Culture Shock one that came out in July.
Mm-hmm.
And she has awesome short film on Shudder called El Gigante, which is ruthless and fucking awesome. And she's just doing a lot of cool shit. And she deserves to be promoted.
All right.
That's
awesome.
What I'm actually excited about with this episode is we're going to be talking about some of the classics. Some of the movies that, of course, are going to be on a list for watching during the Halloween season. You know, you've got to get with some of the big hits. But there's also going to be some deep cut stuff that maybe even people on the panel aren't familiar with, or your listeners may not be familiar with. And that's what I love about the season. You get to watch new stuff, you get to bring back the old classics that you watch almost every year, and it's this just hodgepodge of different movies. And for those listening, what we're doing basically is we're going alphabetically from the 1st of October to the 26th of October with the alphabet, because that's how many letters there are.
Hey.
And then the final days of October, we're going to fill in with just those absolute must-see movies for Halloween. We'll get some of those covered in the letters, but if there's some we missed that you got to watch. And I did say when we were setting this up, besides Halloween, because that's a no-brainer for the Halloween. It's in the name, so...
At some point, you're putting it on.
You're putting it on.
At least, at least for the background music for you just to play.
Right?
You're going to have a Halloween party, and you're going to put that on a TV on a loop.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Fuck that, dude. I'll run the whole series.
Yeah, run the whole series in the background. Absolutely.
Series. That'll cover your party.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, this is Geeks Under the Influence, 31 Days of Halloween Movies. Welcome.
Yay!
Woo-hoo. I want to give up for our local goth heroes, Unmaker, for letting us use their song Asura Eye off their newest album, or only album, I believe, Firmament. They're going on tour in October, which is like the perfect time to go see like an old school 80s style, like goth rock band.
Absolutely.
Their style is so fantastically that 80s, like Sisters of Mercy, kind of like that 80s goth rock kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
So we're going to put that information on their shows and links to their stuff in the notes. Also check out the album Firmament. It's on Spotify. It's on their Bandcamp and available on iTunes, all that stuff. So check them out for sure. And now on to our panel before we get started. To my right, the purveyor of Nerdcropolis, the horror blog. You've been doing it for, what, like eight or nine years?
This is my eighth year. Yeah, every October I'm going to do a 31 Nights of Horror. So a new horror movie each day. And I do it in bite-sized pieces. So I try to review all these movies in three sentences or less, which is way more challenging than you think it is.
Absolutely.
So it's both for my attention span and both to try to challenge myself to sum it up.
This episode is 100%
your wheelhouse. It's 100% off my back.
Little snippets of 31 movies.
Yes.
So this is like...
I'm so excited. This is perfect. Yes.
We've got Katie from Nerdcropolis here.
Hey.
You turned me on to how cool the horror movies at the Pits are.
Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. They do a Tuesday night movie night, and so far most of them have been horror themed, and they did this awesome Friday the 13th night. They played Part 3, which is my favorite.
Oh, nice.
And it's such a cool place. Check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably the day that we drop this episode, they're doing Halloween.
Oh,
so
nice.
So I'm thinking me and the girl might go see that.
Yeah,
so
yay.
Cool. Next, Katie is from Synthetic Nightmare. You've heard him on other episodes of Geeks Under the Influence. We're talking about Will McCobb.
Hello.
What was the last episode you were on?
It was last October.
Was it? Okay.
As per usual, it's about October. You give me the shout.
Yeah. Hey.
I was actually thinking about it the other day. I was like, wow, Becca hasn't called me for a Geeks Under the Influence episode yet. I hope he's still doing some Halloween stuff coming up.
And like 2 days later.
Like 2 days later. Hey, man, you want to be on cosmic. This episode? Yeah. Like tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, let's do this. This is my time to shine.
There we go. Speaking of the time to shine, the one that always brings some shine to this show, the light of my life, the sparkle in this show's eye, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, guys? I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I don't know. I'm just trying to be super sweet.
You are. You're trying. It's cool. Can I get a toothache?
Yeah.
What's up, guys? How you doing? I'm stoked for this.
You just dropped two episodes of From the Mouths of Madness this week.
I did, and I say that exhaustively.
I understand, man.
But yes, we did it. Well, one of them was impromptu because it was a sad week in horror. Sid Haig passed, so we wanted to get a quick panel together and just talk about how badass of a man he was.
Yeah, cheers for Sid Haig.
Cheers to Sid Haig. So that got released yesterday, and like I said, about 25 minutes. It's a short episode, not a full length, but like I said, we just wanted to get something out just to celebrate his long career and just the awesome person he was. Anybody who's met him at a con knows he's a fucking badass. He was always there for his fans.
And he only charged like $10 an autograph. He was super cheap for autographs.
I saw him at Scares That Care this past August. And it's so crazy that he was just there up until the very end, there for his fans and there out there, even when he was like clearly really not doing well. And he was showing up and being there. So
apparently this one was the, his health was already declining before the fall that led to the hospitalization and then to his death. So apparently he had trouble like walking at this con.
Yeah, he was sitting the entire time, but he was there.
And taking breaks. Like F.U. Hunter, my co-host, was saying they had scheduled autograph times at his table. And I'm like, man.
That's fair,
But like, he didn't have to come out for that.
That's right, exactly.
He had a flag. He flew across coasts.
He did.
Loden and I have been to a number of cons together, and when there's the older icons that are there that you can tell are kind of winding down a bit, like when we saw George Romero and his hand was like super shaky as he was trying to do autographs, it was heartbreaking. He was still smart as his mind was 100% there, but he was getting old. And he rode his body hard. Like I'm certain he did cocaine with Stephen King.
Right.
Like, I mean, he drank a handle of vodka a day. You?
Right.
I mean,
that's what I was thinking. Exactly.
Hey, why not? And then that's the other episode is Stephen King's birthday was the 21st. And I actually found out through reading after we recorded the Sittig episode, that's the official date of his death was the 21st. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, wow.
Oh, damn.
We didn't find out till it was like the Monday.
Right. It was a Saturday and then it broke on Monday.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So Stephen King's birthday was also that Saturday. So we already had a Stephen King episode planned. So that got released today. It was a Stephen King episode.
Cool. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. And last but not least, the man who has more work to do than I do. We got Mike Dabba Bickett.
Yeah, you're getting there though. You are slowly
getting
there.
I'm good. I am good with what I got. I am A-OK.
Yeah, I got a message from a friend of ours talking about some project that we're talking about in the future today. And was like, when can we meet? And I was like, I don't know, the 15th of October is my next day free.
Wow.
Because that's how busy we are at this point.
That's this time of year.
Well, especially October, because, I mean, this is our bread and butter. This is, aside from, like, Star Wars, maybe, horror is definitely my wheelhouse. That's where my heart lies, is I'm a horror nerd. So
that's why I get on every October.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I mean, it's just outside of recording. I mean, everything fun is happening in the next month and a half.
You've got all the haunted stuff going on. Yeah. And yeah, there's
all the fall stuff.
All the fall stuff is happening. There's like Oktoberfest beers happening. There's fire pits and hoodies and like all the good stuff. Good is happening. Like there's the
My old lady gets super busy with like all the stuff for that she does working with Dolls Entertainment. So she's got commissions and stuff for Halloween costumes and. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts for us at our house.
So even with it being busy, it is always nice to sit down and enjoy some of the films that you've come to know and love over the years for the Halloween season. And it gets harder and harder every year, it seems, to find the time to sit down. Even a movie day, it's 2 hours, which doesn't seem like a lot of time. But when you've got a job and then stuff outside of work and then, you know, running errands or doing stuff around the house, you know, whatever, it makes it really hard to kind of sit down and enjoy the movie. But I think it's deeply important. Not only to give yourself that time to just relax and enjoy something, but also
you time.
A little you time.
That is my self-care.
Yeah, like, that
I'm
is
gonna
absolutely.
Go home, right, and, yeah.
Like, yeah, I want to go home and watch Brain Dead.
Right, exactly.
And,
just unwind. Yeah.
Yes. So I would say, even if you are busy going into the Halloween season, make sure you take a little time to yourself to enjoy some horror movies. Don't let the entire season pass you by before you start celebrating the last week of Halloween because you were so busy. Like, really get into it.
I've actually learned from years past, because, you know, as we've gotten older, life has gotten busy, like slowly, like little snippets of time get taken away or things get added. So I made a point this year. I started in the end of August.
Yeah, just got started then. With
fuck yeah,
yeah,
dude.
Just watching.
I mean, I watch horror movies all the time, but right. I made a point where, like, if I'm not watching a series that I'm caught up on now, that's what I'm watching. You know what I mean? Like, before it was kind of like normal watches, like, I'll throw a horror movie. You know what I mean? It's not a point to directly watch horror, so.
Yeah, but now it's like, okay, yeah, we got to do that.
When me
yeah.
and the wife have the time, it's usually a horror is the go-to. You know, there's it's why would we go anywhere else?
Yeah,
you know,
and I mean, especially this time of year too. Like as the air is slowly cooling, although it needs to a little quicker.
I was gonna say, right? It was 85 90. Degrees today. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? Today.
Thanks, Virginia.
Like you mentioned hoodies and fire pits. I'm like, nah, shit.
Maybe a week ago.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we had like 2 days.
Fake fall.
Such fall. A tease, you fall.
Hopefully, by the end of this list of movies, by the end of October, we're gonna be getting into the colder. Yeah, fall.
I was
weather.
Hoping by the end of this list of movies, like tonight,
like right now. Yeah, yeah,
or at least. By like the end of September.
Yeah, you guys leave the studio and just see all the leaves have turned. Like, oh, yes.
We've uncrafted beautiful. Code to unlocking fall.
Yeah, apparently it's just summoning 32 movies to go by. So what we're doing alphabetically, starting on the first, and we're taking turns with the movies. And we already have it figured out who's doing what, where. Starting with Katie, you've got the letter A.
Yeah.
So for the 1st of October, which is going to be hopefully the day that we drop this, what should people be watching?
Yeah, so I was torn between two films. So I was going to go with Arachnophobia, which is always a good choice. Yeah. But I decided to go with Autopsy of Jane Doe. And I chose that one because as a diehard horror fan, my friends and family will ask, does anything like really scare you anymore? Like, does anything ever affect you? This movie affected me. Like, it was super creepy. It's with Emile Hirsch and Brian Cox and their dad and a son who work in a morgue. And they get this Jane Doe woman who comes in and these kind of secret mysteries unfold about who she is and what she's all about. And it's just really creepy and unsettling. Yeah. So... things still can scare me, and I'm excited by that. So Autopsy
that
Jane
is
Doe.
Always nice when you're so hardened by all the horror movies you've seen, but then there's one that comes out and
I
just
do
does
still
something.
Have a soul. Yeah,
exactly.
And I've seen that come up on my streaming, I think one or two different streaming sites, and I've been curious about that.
Yeah, so I've been meaning to check that out as well.
Yeah, it's a good watch.
Next up is the 2nd of October. We've got Will with the letter B. What letter B movie are we
I
doing?
I decided I wanted to start out kind of campy. And get the month going fun with Bubba Hotep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love that movie so much.
I mean, so Bruce Campbell. Obviously, I had to get a Bruce Campbell film in there. Yeah, you've got right there.
Yeah,
on
in the
wall.
Studio, we've got a picture of Bruce Campbell dressed as Elvis with, hey, Mike, TCB is in Taking Care of Business, then a signature, and then wrote Elvis underneath. So,
and you know, I have to ask the question from other people's takes on it. Do you believe the storyline that he was actually Elvis? Or was he just crazy?
I believe he was Elvis. Now, Ozzie Davis is JFK. I'm not entirely sure that's
got a little
the case
back.
Or not.
I mean, yeah. Clearly we saw JFK's head get blown up on TV. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I always thought he was crazy. That was just me.
I was always kind of like tossed. I was like, is he crazy? Or is it? It's a good backstory. It's a solid backstory.
I'm taking the X-Files approach where I want to believe. So okay, I want to believe he's Elvis.
That's where I'm at. Yeah. It's more fun for me if he is actually Elvis. Right. So I'm just going to go with that.
And then fighting a mummy.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
If you've not seen it, yeah, it's Bruce Campbell as Elvis Presley, or possibly
an elderly,
geriatric Elvis Presley fighting a mummy with a cowboy hat.
That's sucking the souls out of the arseholes of the people in the old folks' home.
Yes.
Because young people are too hard to get right then.
Yeah.
So he needs to build his strength up. And his best buddy is a black man that believes he is JFK.
Yes.
the line.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I hope you know this, but JFK was white. He goes, I know. That's how clever they are. They dyed me this color.
Oh, that's
Don Cascarelli, I think, is the director.
That I'm not sure of.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Who did Phantasm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yep. Yeah, that's cool.
So, definitely check out Bubba Hotep. For the 3rd of October, we've got the letter C, and Lowdown is bringing the C with him.
I'm bringing the C. Well, we brought up two of the people involved in this movie earlier. I'm just going to add the third. We got Tom Savini, directed by George Romero, and based off Stephen King stories, we've got Creepshow, 1982.
Yes, absolutely.
Cheers.
A good borderline of camp and, you know, that actual serious horror. You know, there's a perfect balance there. Even within the stories, like there's times where each individual story scares you, and then it's also times where it's like, I'm just laughing my ass off. I love that about it.
I think today when we're recording this, they just released on Shudder the Creepshow TV series, right?
First episode.
Yeah.
First episode.
That's so exciting.
First episode that's just really dropped.
Cool.
I'm getting Shudder strictly for that series because
nice.
It's starting off with Greg Nicotero's, it's his series, but Stephen King short story, The Gray Matter.
It's
in the first episode. So
that's cool.
Nice.
I'm excited to check that out. Yeah.
Pay homage to King, who was directly involved with both the movies.
Fantastic. Yeah, Creepshow and Creepshow 2, not nearly as good as the first one, but there is a little bit of good in the second one. Apparently there's a third one that I've never seen, and I don't think that has anything to do with Stephen King whatsoever.
Just leave it alone.
I'm not sure. I knew there was a third one.
Oh, yeah, it's garbage.
I think it came out like a few years ago.
Oh,
like it's new and
really
just
gotcha.
Bad.
Yeah.
One of those just took
so
the
we're
name.
We're just going to forget about it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So next up, we've got the 4th of October, and we've got Hobbit, and he has the D.
I'm bringing the D. big fat D for you. Nothing better to start off the season than going with a classic Universal monster movie. And the letter D, you can't do one better than the classic Dracula.
Woo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
The original Dracula, there is one scene in there. There's little scenes in these movies that I've come to know and love just from the ridiculous laughter or arm movement or something, some little twitch or thing that makes that moment really special to me. There's the let's ride from Gone in 60 Seconds that Nick Cage does. There's a little head swivel thing that Jeff Goldblum dubs in Thor Ragnarok, and the wild, crazy laughter at the bottom of the stairs of the boat in Dracula
is
one of those scenes that it's just so iconic and wonderful, and it just warms my heart every time I see it. It just reminds me of like my childhood, and it's both unsettling and hilarious at the same time, and it's just perfect. I love it. And this is just a classic. This is what was it, 31 or 32 when this came out?
It came out right after Frankenstein, the same year, 31.
31, I mean, right around the same time, I think.
Frankenstein was the first, right? Yeah.
No, because...
Or Dracula was the first, then
Dracula was the first, because Lugosi turned down the role of Frankenstein, and Karloff's career shot off after that.
Okay,
one.
But I know they're the same year, but okay, so Dracula was first,
Dracula
then Frankenstein.
Dracula was first.
Okay. But it is one of those that, I mean, you can't have a bad time watching it. It's a classic for a reason. And it's really interesting to see how far horror has progressed as well. Watching these old horror movies and then comparing it to like modern day.
They're still my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and they're still taking cues from those old movies, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, those still have such an influence on what's coming out today.
Children of the Night.
Yeah.
What music they make.
Any Universal monster movie is good
for
Halloween.
For sure. Yeah.
Halloween season.
I mean, even the effects. Back then, Jesus.
The bats.
So good.
Oh, rubber bats on strings.
It's so
so good.
Yeah.
So delightful.
I still have rubber bats on strings hanging around my house.
Yes.
All year.
That's as one should.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super down for that. Next up for the 5th, which is the first Saturday of October, we've got Katie bringing the E.
This might be the one I'm most excited about on my list, and I watched it just a couple days ago in advance for this. So, Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
I freaking love Ernest Scared Stupid. And so, this one is actually one that really creeped me out when I was a kid.
Because
like,
it's real.
It's like so real. There's this awesome troll. The puppetry in that movie is incredible. There's one scene, if you haven't seen it in a while, at the end, towards the end, where the trolls, like his troll army is unleashed, and there's just troll chaos everywhere.
Wait, but that's what I'm going to say when I'm about to come. It's like, I'm about to unleash my troll army.
Amazing.
That's so gross.
Yes, and they all just look so cool. And the idea that some troll is going to turn you into a little wooden doll just creeped me the F out. And yeah. Ernest is amazing. He does all of his characters. He does like the montage of his different characters. And it's just fantastic. It's so good. Please
it's
watch it.
Years.
Yeah.
You have, oh, okay. You've seen
it. Oh, in yours. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I was a kid.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's a good one I to dust it. Off. Yeah.
Saw that one in theaters. It's probably my favorite Ernest. Honestly, I
it's
love that.
Favorite.
I love that.
And also, yeah. Right, big Amazon. Respect. You could have taken the easy note and
could have done The Exorcist. Could have done a slew of Exorcist movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're like, no, fuck that.
No,
Ernest Scared Stupid.
This is Halloween. It's set in Halloween.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
I like the cut of your jib. Yeah, that's solid. Yeah. So after Ernest Scared Stupid, you got a lot to follow up with after that.
I think I picked a gem.
You
for it.
Did pick a gem.
So
the first Sunday of October is F is the letter we're looking at.
So obviously Frankenstein would have been the one that you think you'd go for. I said, screw that. Let's go for Frankenhooker.
Frankenhooker.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You want a date? What a terrible, wonderful movie.
It's so stupid. I love it.
She get what was it run over by a lawnmower and he has to put his girlfriend back together.
Yes.
And he oh it's great.
It is a great movie. It's just oof.
And that Lowdown, you were saying that's the same director that did what movie?
Basket Case and Brain Damage.
Yep.
Yeah. The first Basket Case. I don't think he did 2 and 3.
I think that's my favorite type of horror movie where there's just like so much is happening. You're like, what the fuck is going on? Why is this a thing? And it's just remarkable and wonderful. So that's a great pick.
That's also Basket Case because I just watched that for the first time in years the other day.
Yeah.
And I forgot just how jarring the screaming is in that movie because the little basket monster twin is just, for like half the movie.
Yeah.
Where at one point it's like, can you kill him already, please? This is too much.
There's not a lot of music throughout the movie. So when it happens, it's like the stark sound that you hear. It's like, oh God, stop it. Yeah.
It's also reminded me, I also need to go purchase Frankenhooker on DVD because I only have it on VHS.
It has come back. They have, I think the same company that did Brain Damage did put Basket Case and Frankenhooker out on Blu-ray in like a 2K restoration.
Good.
So you should be able to find a good
copy.
Even
better.
Yeah.
All right, Lowdown, you're next up. That following Monday, the 7th of October with the letter G, what are you bringing?
I decided to go with one that I enjoy. It's fun. It's nothing too crazy, but I thought it was a good newer horror movie. It came out in 2000, Ginger Snaps.
Love Ginger Snaps.
Nice.
That's Ginger a great pick.
We haven't had a werewolf yet.
No, we haven't had a werewolf.
But it was like,
we got a Frankenstein. We've got a Dracula.
We have a Frankenhooker.
We got a Frankenhooker,
But it's a movie that definitely changed the whole premise of puberty, teenager, and then werewolf, and you know, already being an outcast. I really dug that movie, the first one again.
Right.
Not like the sequels.
Well, and it was such a brilliant idea to kind of incorporate like a woman's body changing with going into puberty and everything and all the stuff that happens there with the changing of your body when you're a werewolf.
That's actually what it feels like. So yeah, I fully endorse that as the woman here sitting here.
Okay. So just a fucking stroke of brilliance.
Yeah.
That parallels really well, and
Catherine Isabel is awesome.
Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Like I didn't like the way they moved along with the series, and they did that prequel. It's kind of the movie should have been one and done, really.
That's also one where if you're not really sure if it's going to be good or not, you might see the title, and you're like, I wonder what that's like. It's really good.
Yeah, put it on.
Put it on.
It's
actually
streaming, I think, on
it's
Prime
solid.
Right now, and it's free. So put it on, give it a shot. Awesome. Especially during if you can watch it on the 7th,
even better.
Which right. I will be posting the calendar of all the different titles along with this episode. So we'll be posting that up on our Twitter and our social media and stuff. Just a picture of our calendar with all these different choices.
Very cool.
All right, next up, we've got Tuesday the 8th. And Hobbit, you have H.
I do have H. And I kind of struggle with this because there's a lot of movies in H. There's The Haunting. Originally, I thought The House on Haunted Hill, the original. Because Vincent Price is my heart, and that movie is amazing. When the lights come on and the old lady's there and just like it's wheeled out, it's just the best. But there is one movie that you have to watch. It's The Home Alone of Halloween. it's a fun family film that you just have to watch it and love it, with Bette Midler just going buck fucking wild. Hocus Pocus.
So you, excited.
You got a Hocus Pocus
my
on the Halloween.
My excitement was so genuine. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those that I saw it late. Like, I didn't see it until probably, I don't know, like 10 years ago something. Yeah.
I saw it in theaters when I was a kid. My mom was all about that, because Bette Midler and, who else was in that?
Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathy.
She was a nobody when
Jimmy.
That came out, though. That was like one of her first big ones.
Yeah. Now, the story with that was supposed to be originally a Disney Channel TV movie.
A DCOM? Disney Channel original movie?
Wow. Okay. Yes, one of those.
Okay. I'm going to remember that.
And I think it was Bette Midler that was really pushing for it to be taken more seriously.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, but it became just an actual theatrical release and has now like a cult classic that is watched by many every Halloween season.
Also, there is no excuse not to watch this, because it's on like 1,000 times on Freeform.
That's what I mean.
It's like
the Home Alone, where Home Alone's on like every channel on Christmas. Right. This is Hocus Pocus is the same kind of deal where...
Yep.
It's just a fun family movie that is very approachable, and it doesn't take a lot of brain power. You can watch it and just love it, and it's fine.
I know what I was thinking of. It was the older brother who's Salem.
Yes.
He is on NCIS. He was Ducky.
Oh, wow.
On NCIS.
Cool.
I think his character left the show, but in the first like 14 fucking seasons, he was the pudgier guy in the group.
Oh. Yeah. Cool, that's awesome.
It also features as Billy, the Oscar award-winning creature actor, Doug Jones, who played Abe Sapien. He played the creature in Shape of Water. He was in a bunch of characters in Pan's Labyrinth. He's been in a ton of stuff. He's in Star Trek Discovery as well. He won an Emmy for that, I believe.
I totally forgot he was in that.
Yeah, he plays Billy, the zombie guy with his mouth sewn shut.
And I love his line in Hocus Pocus where he tells Bette Midler to go to hell, and then Bette's like, oh, I've been there, and it's quite lovely.
Yeah.
So good.
So cheesy, yeah. I love it.
I messed up the cat's name. It wasn't Salem. Salem was from Sabrina.
Binks.
Yeah. Binks.
Right? Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it, Binks.
All right, so moving from Hocus Pocus, which we could probably do a whole episode on, or at least I could.
Yeah,
we've got the letter I for the 9th, Wednesday the 9th of October. And Katie, what do you got?
Okay, so I fully acknowledge that this is kind of a cheat, but I have something to zero in on to make it officially an I movie.
Okay.
But so Hulu did the whole Into the Dark series this past year. They started, they released a horror movie every single month that has to do with the kind of the theme of the month. There's like a Mother's Day one, there's a Valentine's Day one. The first one came out last October, and that one's great. But the one that kind of starts with an I is called I'm Just Fucking With You, and that was from April, so it was an April Fool's movie. And they're all just all of the installments are just good enough, if that makes sense.
Like, I gotcha.
They're like slightly elevated made for TV horror movies. None of them are over 90 minutes long. They're really easy to put on and watch, and there's something for everyone in that series. So I'm stoked that they're doing a part two, a season two. They're going to continue on with it, and it's just really fun to kind of anticipate what's the next month going to be, and what's the theme going to be. So and I enjoy them.
Hulu has really stepped up as well with the horror movies, especially during October.
Mm-hmm.
They've really done well. Prime is great for that. Prime has a lot of really bad, like grade Z horror movies available for the Halloween season, but Hulu's really making sure they're bringing some real like champions on there for the Halloween
season.
Trying
to be competitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Netflix seems to drop the ball sometimes.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, a little bit.
They're scared.
They scared.
They're scared. Next one up, we've got the 10th of October. Will is bringing the letter J. What are you bringing to the table?
I went with Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer.
I've never seen this one.
Never seen this.
It is a fantastic... it's a B movie.
It's B.
But it's a... it's... I can't think of the actor's name, but it definitely does star... Robert Englund, as the main monster in it.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like me and a buddy and I were sitting there watching, scrolling through probably Netflix or some shit, and we were like, "What the hell is this?" And it's like, a man with anger management finds his destiny as a monster killer. We're like, "Oh, well, cool." I mean, like the guy gets mad at his toaster during the movie. It all turns out that like his parents were killed by monsters as a child and led to childhood trauma. That now he hates monsters, and he grew up and found his destiny was to murder monsters to keep his anger management at bay.
And so there's a lot of these like quick scenes of like something happening where he suddenly like goes to anger immediately. Like he just switches on all of a sudden. He's like, and it's hilarious because he does seem like a genuinely good dude that just has some like anger
moments
stuff.
Of rage. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was just like, he's mad at, like, I don't remember what the appliance was, but there was an appliance. And he's like, and this fucking broke. This fucking piece of shit over here. And he's like trying to talk to his, like, therapist and just screaming about his appliance breaking. So I feel a little near and dear to heart because I'm also get really angry for no reason sometimes too.
Well, it seems like there's an opportunity to channel your anger.
Yeah, here we go.
Robert Englund plays the monster. Who plays the Slayer?
Jack. A dude.
What? I have no idea.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up because I can't remember.
Yeah, no, it's an actor that I haven't really seen in anything else that I can think of offhand.
Is that a movie that you can find like on Amazon or something streaming, or is it more one that you have to kind of curate?
You might have to curate. I know it was on streaming services a while back, but okay. I don't know if it's still or not.
Cool. I will look for that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Next up, we got for the 11th of October, which is a Friday night movie night with the letter K. What are you bringing, Lowdown?
Man, I had to go with my old Chodo Brothers, 1988's Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I mean,
gotta do it.
I had to fucking do that.
When the theme song is written by the and performed by the Dickies, I mean.
Yeah. I fucking love that movie. So good.
Strangely, I do as well, because they're not real clowns.
Yeah, you can't take that seriously.
Yeah, I mean, none of it, even though they're creepy clowns that kill people, which is what clowns really do.
Right.
These are like space clowns. They're not. It gives me a slight bit of throughout, but not too bad. I can definitely sit through Killer Clowns.
So obviously love the makeup and the costumes in that movie. They're incredible. But I also love the sets in that movie. Isn't there like a fast food place and things?
There's like the Big Top, which is their spaceship. And then there's people in cotton candy that they're like cooned in cotton candy. And
it's great. So the set pieces are really cool.
But someone does, one of the characters does work at a like, old, like, I think drive-in style restaurant.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a few years since.
But yeah, they just drink them up like fucking milkshakes. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, it's so stupid. I love it.
So great. And, all right, so moving on, we've got Saturday, October 12th. We got Hobbit with L.
For the letter L, again, this is one of those letters you can do a lot of stuff. And I wanted to bring something a little bit more recent. I saw it when it first came out, and it's I believe, a Netflix original movie. So it is on Netflix. And it stars Adam Scott, called Little Evil.
Haven't seen it. This
is basically a silly version of The Omen, where this is he plays a gentleman that's like getting engaged to a woman, or they're going to get married. And like pretty soon after they start dating, so he doesn't know the kid very well. And it's straight up the kid from The Omen. Like he's pale makeup. He's wearing like the little like 1960s ball cap thing that Damien's wearing in The Omen. He's wearing all black like school child 1950s clothing. It's like they're not trying to make it modernize this character. Yeah. This is like a creepy kid in the creepy kid.
Let's stick with the creepy kid.
And and it's him just trying to be like the new stepdad to this kid and like trying to bond with him. Well, like Armageddon is beginning to happen with the kid like bringing about the apocalypse and shit. And it's fucking hilarious. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I was going to say that all this shit's happening around and people are just oblivious to it. And like he's the only one that, like
that's noticing that this kid's actually the Antichrist.
Now, I did watch it. I thought there were funny parts. I probably won't rewatch it.
Okay, that's fair.
I didn't love it, but it was funny. For at least a one go through.
I did very much enjoy it, especially the like the lesbian buddy that like had the big jacked up truck that was just played by could have thrown like a chubby bearded dude in that role and not changed anything about the character and it would have fit perfectly. Like it wasn't played like the stereotypes of a lesbian necessarily, just like the goofy like chubby buddy, you know, that like had a jacked up truck. It was very fun to see kind of how they played that. It was
nice. Yeah.
So, Little Evil is mine. So, for the next one, we got the letter M for Sunday the 13th. So, before you go out to Booz Clues and smack my pitch up at the Dark Room, we're doing that double features thing, sit down and enjoy this movie with the letter M. Katie, what are we watching?
Yeah, I also went with a modern one. So, Mayhem from 2017. So, this is with Steven Yeun, Glenn from The Walking Dead, and Samara Weaver, who is most recently in Ready or Not. She was in The Babysitter on Netflix. She's like stacked up a awesome horror resume. I'm obsessed with her. But Mayhem is all about like what would happen if there was a viral outbreak in your workplace and you worked in like a multi-level building and you were quarantined with your coworkers and just freaking hell breaks loose and they're all like deranged and crazy. And then you have Steven Yeun and Samara like trying to fight back and
How have I not heard of this?
It's incredible. It's a gem.
There's a virus, though.
It's a virus. Yeah,
that makes
exactly.
them go crazy. They can't control their rage, and once it starts, it doesn't stop.
I think
stop.
It's like a It's not. It's like a mortgage lending company, maybe, or something in that vein. And Samara Weaver is like a customer, and she gets fucked over by this company. And then Steven Yeun's an employee, so she's there to like kick ass and be like, "Well, fuck this whole place. I'm gonna take this, burn this shit down." And Steven Yeun's kind of like trying to figure out the true evil in the company. And it's just it's awesome. If you can imagine like how you might use office supplies to kick ass, then well,
and that
it's
it
incredible.
Sounds a little Belko experiment.
It's kind of in the same vein as Belko experiment. Yeah, that's a little darker.
Yeah,
Belko's a little darker. Funny. This is more fun, but gratuitously violent and action oriented.
I'm
really
super
fun.
In. That
yeah.
sounds rad as
yeah,
shit.
It's yeah, it's a good movie. It was on sale on Vudu, I think, last Halloween. I got it for like $5 or $4 or something like
nice.
That.
Nice. Okay.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I'm definitely checking that out. That sounds great.
It's hilarious.
Next it up on the list, the 14th of October, on Monday the 14th. Will, what are we watching that Monday?
On Monday the 14th. This one's for you, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. Yay.
I had to go with a classic.
It's like my favorite.
There were so many yeah. Night Ofs, Night of the Creeps, Night of this, that, and the
Night of the Comet. Yeah. Night of the Lupus.
Yeah.
Giant bunnies.
Yeah.
What?
Not Lupus. What is it? The bunnies. The bunny rabbit one. They might be lupus.
I don't know it, yeah.
It's
yeah.
not lupus. Lupus is a disease.
Yeah, lupus is a horrible disease.
It's not a lupus plague. That.
You know, goes. Oh, God. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the giant bunny rabbit one.
I don't remember okay. the name
yeah.
of it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But I went with Night of the Living Dead because I felt I needed a good zombie classic. And what better one than really the one that...
Started it all.
Got it all.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
So. I mean, the zombie movies changed fundamentally after that movie. It pretty much created the code of zombie movies. The Walking Dead is based entirely on Romero zombies. So
Most of the movies that came after it, hell, all of the different sequels and spinoffs and everything else. So.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
It seemed like a no-brainer.
Night of the Living Dead is that movie where you see it in all sorts of other horror movies because there's no, like, you don't, it's freely available. So a lot of movies feature Night of the Living Dead because they don't have to pay for it. They can just feature that in their movie. I love that.
Romero,
I think that's great. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
He got fucked so hard on that copyright.
Yeah.
They actually changed the rules about that like a few years later so that there would be technically a copyright on it, even if there wasn't officially the copyright. It would have saved his ass, basically. And Night of the Living Dead was one of the things used as a argument for the law to be changed.
Oh, wow. Yep. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So next up, we've got Lowdown. You're bringing the letter O.
Yeah, I went with the 1976 The Omen.
Yeah.
For this one. I mean, partly because O, but also, I mean, it's The Omen, for fuck's sake.
It's The Omen.
And that's not one like, you know, we talked about when Katie had E. Of course, you could go with The Exorcist. That one's actually more widely watched, I feel like, than The Omen. I don't feel like people give The Omen a lot of playback.
I agree.
You know, and that's one you should definitely check out. I mean, you got Gregory Peck
and the original,
David Warner,
not the
1976.
Remake. Yeah,
yeah.
Not the way like 2004 one or whatever.
Whatever that bullshit was. Leaf Schreiber. 06. Yeah,
because they released it on 666.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Of course they did. The Omen is one of those movies that really got me into horror. I saw it like way too early of an age, but
I think that's with everybody that loves horror. It's that like I saw this movie when I shouldn't have.
Yeah, but it's really scary. It holds up.
And it's fucking Richard Donner.
Yeah.
Like, that's a dark ass movie for Richard Donner.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. So yeah.
Hell yeah.
And so after that we got Wednesday the 16th and Hobbit. And you got the P.
I got the P. I got the D. I got all the all the inside jokes there. We're going to take a break after this one so we can collect ourselves for the second half of this part here. But for the letter P, of course, this is one of those movies that absolutely terrified me as a child to the point where even now it's unsettling. What one specific scene involving a clown doll, that's a lot. There's also a tree that is pretty fucked up.
Terrifying.
That's terrifying in this movie.
Yeah.
It is... In my opinion, probably the scariest PG-13 horror movie out there.
And it was, I don't think, it was PG when it came out because PG-13 wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why they made.
Right.
Yeah, Poltergeist was part of the conversation. Right. Yeah. 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 So this
I agree.
Poltergeist, I mean, it is like probably the scariest movie that I saw when I was a kid, because I was supposed to be able to see it when it was out, you know.
Supposed to be able to see it.
But then there's Toby Hooper with a backup of Steven Spielberg making this fucking horrifying movie. I also remember as a kid the part where he's peeling his face apart.
Yes, the effects are so gnarly in that.
It's so gruesome, and I was just terrified as a kid, and that sticks with you in a way that when you get old enough that it doesn't have that same effect on you, you come to love it. Like, it's no longer something that you're terrified of. You're like, I want to like kind of relive that childhood terror again by rewatching it.
It played to that, there's something in the closet.
Yeah.
By literally having something in the closet. Right. Yeah. A giant scary ghost monster.
I gotta give a shout out to Zelda Rubinstein. I freaking love her.
Oh God.
The medium.
This house is clean.
Well, how about what was that one fucking scene where he they fucked it up in the remake? That remake was utter shit.
I didn't watch it.
And I like Sam Rockwell too, but God damn it, yeah, it was terrible. Where his face falls apart in the mirror. Like, I mean, that's PG. This is PG, and this dude's face is rotting off. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Poltergeist is my letter P. Now on this point, we're gonna take a short break so you can hear about some stuff going on with events in town and stuff. And when we come back, we'll talk about our sponsor a little bit, what we're drinking, a quick drunken scene, and then jump right back into the rest of the alphabet. So stick around. This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout. We're back for our second half of Geeks Under the Influence, 31 days of Halloween movies. But before we get into that, let's talk about our sponsors. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm up to really talking about this.
Why? Why, man? What, seriously?
Well, the thing is, it's almost October, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten any of my supplies for Halloween, and I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to the store.
Motherfucker. All right. So first off, our biggest and OG sponsor is Amazon, which you fucking know. You set the shit up.
Oh,
and they have a thing called Prime.
Right.
So 2 days. Sometimes if you get enough of the same shit and equals a certain amount of money, you can get it the same day.
But there's no way they're going to have a fat Thor costume on there.
I mean, isn't that how you dress every day? What do you need to buy a costume for?
Well, at least the axe. I need at least the axe.
You need a Stormbreaker. Yes, you need Stormbreaker. No, yeah. I've actually ordered some of my Halloween parts of my costume today, and I will have it Saturday.
That's amazing.
That's
and
awesome.
Let's say if I was to buy one of these movies that we're talking about on this episode, it would make the most sense just to go through the link at gypodcast.com.
It would, unless it's already free on Prime.
That is true, in which case we get it.
Yeah.
So you should still buy a hard copy.
You probably should.
These are good movies.
That's where you get bonus features. True. You get the audio commentaries, right. All that stuff. Yes. So
any true nerd wants any true nerd wants the hard copy.
That's right.
Absolutely. Just make sure you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com. Upper right hand corner of the homepage says Shop Amazon. That way we get credit for it. So we earn a little bit of cash for you getting all your holiday needs, whether it be costumes or the movies we're talking about tonight, all that stuff. Just make sure you go through our link. And thank you for that insight there, Lowdown.
You are welcome, man.
Yeah.
See, absolutely. I'm more than just a pretty voice.
Yeah. Speaking of pretty, another way for you to rock the holiday of Halloween in pretty fashion is to buy some GUI merch at T Public. We've got some holiday designs available, one of which pisses off Lowdown, which makes me so happy. We've got our Jay Baruchel Rules t-shirt that's inspired by the Stephen King Rules shirt from Monster Squad. That Lowdown's definitely going to buy one.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More likely, one that Lowdown's going to get if you haven't already is that Ouija board shirt.
Yeah, there's actually a sale going through, I think, the weekend. I get a text alert whenever they drop a sale, so I think there's one going through the weekend that 35% off everything.
Yeah, they do sales all the time, so I definitely sign up for their email list because they will alert you when there's a sale coming up. And it's usually like 30-35% off, so it makes the shirts much cheaper.
You can actually add your number and get text alerts from the place. And like, if you're like me, where I rarely pay attention to emails till like maybe once a day, you'll get the text alert because people pay attention to those pretty much when they get them.
I have the Alcoholoween shirt that you guys put out, and nice. I gotta say, I love it. It's a very soft and nice shirt.
It was
so
a collaboration.
Well done for the ladies. It's nice quality.
Nice.
I appreciate that.
Excellent. I love that shirt.
He did the putting it together, and I was like, here, use this, and then we can try doing this to it. And he's like, this? I'm like, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, that is yeah. No, I do remember that. Yeah. I always try to with our designs check with some of the showrunners and stuff and get some second opinions on stuff. And I've switched a few things around here and there, and it's made a big difference. Just little tweaks here and there make the design really pop.
Mm-hmm.
And we love that TeePublic is now selling buttons as well. So if you've got that punk rock jacket that needs an Alcoholoween button or a, and I understand, Jay Baruchel rules button, then just go to our TeePublic page through the link at gwagpodcast.com/store. Click on the TeePublic link and that'll send you to our store. There's almost 30 designs on our page now. So
fucking A.
Whether it be for all the different podcasts on the network, all 9 shows, or inside jokes, Halloweeny stuff. We've got our returning designs from last year. The Alcoholoween is back. The Elm Street Ale shirt, which I'm wearing currently.
Mm, yes, you are.
And the one that never left because it was too popular to get off the page, our GY Thulu shirt where it's got tentacles and demon wings on our logo. That's a very popular seller, along with our Ouija board and all sorts of stuff available at our TeePublic store. So check that out. And before we get into anything else, we've got another little event that you should probably check out. Will's got a little bit of info on that.
I do. Speaking of being busy this time of year and everybody, First Friday, big art walk in Richmond. If you're not familiar with it, Gallery 5 is a fantastic art
amazing
place for
venue
art, for arts and entertainment. They're doing their Gallery of Five Fires. And
Festival of Five Fires, yeah.
And I will actually be part of the vaudeville show, on top of music and animal rescue and all the bees and everything else I do. I'm also a magician, so I will be on stage at Gallery 5 the 4th, which is the first Friday in October.
And I do love your goofy ass magician costume,
it is amazing. I love
his
that.
Hair is like swooped to the side, he's got like eyeliner, and it's like super. Mysterious. It's amazing.
William Macabre, the mystic master of macabre.
Macabre, yeah.
Whatever.
Magic.
That's really awesome.
It's alliteration. It's good.
Yeah, it's fine. But actually, you're a genuinely good magician, which is what actually upsets me more. It's like, oh, you look like a dumb. Oh, fuck, it's good. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, sucks, man. We can't make that.
Yeah, well, because Carnival Five Fires, there's fire spinning, all sorts of crazy shit. It's so much fun.
They block off the whole block. Right beside the place. It's so cool. There's music. There's dance parties.
Man, that sounds rad.
And they're doing it. It's super, super important. Gallery Five has been doing a lot of renovation. I actually just performed there like a week ago for a variety drive to help them raise money for the drive that they were doing.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked to be back on the stage again.
It's nice. Such a cool building and a great thing for Richmond. So that's awesome you're doing that. It's a great event.
Oh, yeah. It really adds to the art culture of Richmond, which is huge.
It's
anyway.
Already great.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Gallery 5 is a gem. So that's awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, we got magic. We got horror movies. We've got all sorts of shit for you. What we also have is a little segment where we talk about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
We made Bo from A Veil sing part of the song when he was on, and we just added it to the actual song.
Nice.
Where's the Spooky Boops one we've got? We did.
The Spooky Boops. I think I have it in here somewhere.
It's the Halloween episode.
There we go.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey!
So we're talking about what we're drinking, and we do have one share. Will brought something scary, like
so it smells like rice.
This is like the alcohol version of a gremlin he bought in Chinatown. Like,
so as I said, you guys know I do all the animal rescue and fostering and stuff like that as well. Sometimes it's nice to go to what's called New Grand, which is basically like a bodega and an Asian mart had a baby. And I was wandering around and I found the, I'm guessing it's sake section, And it was just this glass jar with adorable pandas. And
it's really cute.
The only thing I could read was the Surgeon General warning on the back. So I was like, well, I clearly know what I need to bring tonight. And it's definitely sake.
Yeah.
No, it is sake.
Pungent, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So here's good. To like sake that looks like it's marketed to
cheers,
children.
Yeah,
yeah, cheers. It's like those old jelly jars we used
that's
to get
exactly
as kids where you could
what
turn in the cups.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That was like, please all keep the, that cup and use
the
it
old
for
Disney. WWF, Disney, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. These are the animals that
oh, the
are
World
going
Wildlife Federation, yeah.
Yeah.
Not oh. The panda bear fighting ring.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible, no.
No,
it's actually pretty smooth.
Yeah, it is pretty smooth. It's more
there's,
smooth
there's
than
there's a note on the finish that I'm trying to get. It's,
rice.
Well, yeah. Besides rice, yeah.
Rice.
It's like, I get notes of grape in this wine. Like,
it's
yes,
totally reusable. It came with a little plastic.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that, dude.
Now it looks like a urine sample.
How strong does. Do they have like an ABV on that? How strong is it? Are we about to get fucked?
15 to 16% alcohol by volume. Okay. So they don't even know exactly.
I like they just give you a guesstimate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This probably won't make you go blind.
And I definitely
we promised we didn't use
I can't read
no.
that.
We didn't leave
no.
the antifreeze
no.
in the radiator.
There's nothing discernible right, so
if,
from
if
that label.
If this episode gets a little weirder than normal,
that is
then
why.
Just write a letter to the people that made the panda bear sake in the pea cup.
Panda sake.
I feel like the essence is panda tears or panda sweat or something. Like there's I don't know.
Or panda
the panda
something.
Has put some love into this.
Oh, yeah. God, I hope not.
Oh.
I won't put any love into
set
anything
myself
else.
Up for that one.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't be this clear species. If it was panda love in here.
Ew.
Yeah.
Can't fuck to save their own species.
Yeah, right. Nasty.
Thank you for bringing this. This is really good.
They don't fuck
it's
for
tasty.
Procreation. They fuck to make delicious fermented beverages. Just, that's what they're into.
Panda tears.
Panda tears and cum.
Oh.
Drink
like, that's
it
like panda
in.
Rape. You just described panda
that's
rape.
Horrific.
Oh, what is this, a Wes Craven film?
It was rape, yeah. Like, oh when you talk about a crying panda and cum, it's like rape.
Yes.
That's panda rape.
Okay, well, let's get away from that subject.
Yeah.
Right, fuck,
yeah.
Man. Sick bastard.
Yeah, sick indeed. Let's get into our next segment, which I should probably pass those out here.
Everyone's... Oh, no. Oh, they're not on the back.
Yeah, they're not on the back because I had to do a different thing. So this next segment, we're going to run through real quick. This is where we make sure that we look like assholes on this episode by doing a thing called making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
All right, so we've got two different scenes here, both of which are either a Hollywood classic movie or Halloween classic, one movie that you have to see for Halloween. The other one just discusses horror movies in general like we are this evening. The first one, of course, is the classic movie Scream. We all know it. We all love it. A number of people misunderstood it to be taken seriously and not a parody of the genre as it was supposed to be taken. You approach it that way, where it's supposed to be making fun of the tropes of horror movies, then it's a delightful and fun film. And this is one of those scenes that is the beginning of the
this
movie,
is
I
the
believe.
Beginning, yeah, the beginning of the scene. Yeah.
So we've got the phone voice, which is the killer.
Ghostface. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Casey. So anybody have any particular wants or needs in that?
Can I be Ghostface?
You can be Ghostface.
He's really excited about it.
Anybody want to be Casey?
I can go
or,
for Casey.
You can go Casey?
Yeah.
Okay. So, one of you guys are ready. This is from the beginning of the film Scream.
Name the killer in Friday the 13th.
Jason!
I'm sorry, that's the wrong answer.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It was Jason.
Afraid not. No way.
Listen, it was Jason. I saw that movie 20 goddamn times.
Then you should know that Jason's mother, Mrs. Voorhees, was the original killer. Jason didn't show up until the sequel. I'm afraid that was a wrong answer.
You tricked me.
Lucky for you, there's a bonus round. But poor Steve, I'm afraid he's out.
Fuck
Steve.
Steve
was a douche.
Yeah, fuck Steve.
That was a good ghost.
You went from like the jackalope to like the pharmacy guy from Family Guy.
Shit happens.
Then that's the wrong answer.
It's that sake, man.
Yeah, right.
Panda piss.
Panda piss.
Panda piss, yeah.
That might be the name of the episode, is Panda Piss. Next one up is a absolute classic, Hocus Pocus, that we had on the list already. This is from a conversation between, oh, it's three people. We've got Thackeray Binks, Max, and Allison. So any particular wants or needs?
Well, I mean, if you want to do Thackeray Binks, I could probably do Max and Allison to equal it out, but that's if no one else wants to do it.
Okay, that's fine. Different voices. Yeah, it works for me. I guess I figure what I was going to do for Thackeray. Okay. All right. So here we go. So Hocus Pocus, I still don't know what I'm going to do. All right, here we go. We'll find out together. I want to show you something. Give you an idea of what we are dealing with.
William Butcherson, you say? Not so.
Billy Butcherson was a wiener friend's lover. We're just changing accents. It's fine. But she caught him a sporting with her sister, a Sarah. So she poisoned him with a sewed his mouth shut with a dollar needle so he couldn't tell his secrets even in death. Winifred, she was always the jealous type.
You're Thackeray Binks.
Yes.
So the legends are true.
Come along. Want to show you something else.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
You started like a weird Christopher Walken-ish kind of staccato.
And then, Mario.
And then you were like, it's as if you were Italian, but you also lived in Arkansas. Like,
by way of Sweden.
You had some sort of Southern drawl and yeah, I loved it. It was brilliant.
Oh my God.
I was a jet setter. Yeah. In that one. So.
Ooh.
All right, so we're luckily done with that.
Oh, God, that's funny.
That moves us to back to the 17th of October, where we're picking back up again. That's the letter Q for the 17th, and Katie's bringing us back.
Yeah, I got stuck with good old Q.
Yeah.
So I think the obvious answer for a good true horror fan was Q the Winged Serpent, which is Larry Cohen's cult movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
But full disclosure, I've actually never seen that movie. So in the spirit of authenticity,
I
was going to talk about something I have seen, which is Quarantine.
Absolutely.
With Jennifer Carpenter. And Quarantine is the kind of the Americanized version of the Wreck series. And Wreck is out of, it's from a Latin speaking country, and Wreck is amazing. Like, if you haven't seen the Wreck series, all of them are solid. And Quarantine, I actually think is a pretty solid
I think Wreck or Record or whatever. Definitely. I think I like the first one at least a little bit better.
Yes.
They went weird with the series though. I think that the fourth one takes place on a plane or something.
They did kind of get a little wonky, a little wacky with it.
Yeah.
But I love Jennifer Carpenter. She's great. It was made in that time where literally like every cover of a DVD was that photo of a woman like being dragged away by something ominous. Like there was like 30 covers that looked like that. So I always found that really funny. Yeah.
The one that was surprising is the movie where it was Harvey Weinstein dragging the woman away. That's really the
that's the monster in a lot of these
real
movies.
Yeah,
yes,
it's too
exactly.
Real.
Yeah. But I'm excited to watch Q the Winged Serpent. Joe Bob Briggs did it on his horror marathon. So,
and I want to say, don't quote me on it necessarily, but I'm pretty sure I saw that on Amazon Prime recently.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that might be on there somewhere.
Yeah, nice. You know, I think I did too. I think you're 100% right on that. Actually,
I think I bought that once just because I didn't have a horror movie that started with the word or the letter Q.
Respect. I respect.
Fair
that.
Enough.
Yeah.
Just was like adding it to the collection.
Fuck it.
Nice.
All right, next one up. Will, you're next up with the letter R. Pretty sure you can find something in that letter.
That I did, and because my last choice was Night of the Living Dead, I went with the punk rock classic, Return of the Living Dead.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yes.
Because what more do you need? It's somewhere other than gratuitous nudity dancing on a tombstone.
I love Linnea Quigley.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I think every horror fan's like around our age, that was like the girl where, I mean, naked punk rock girl dancing in a graveyard.
Oh yeah.
Done. Like you
she's fantastic.
We will be married on a mountain. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, just the idea of talking zombies and
everything else and the entire spinoff, because, you know, everything was written. Like I said earlier, Night of the Living Dead began, and then they wrote all these sequels, and nothing ever happened with half of them because people and whatever. And then there were other people who came back were like, hey, there's the sequel that we wrote, but let's make it a comedy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
and still be gory and have jumps, yeah. Right? Like, that was awesome.
And have all these interesting cast of characters. All of them are really fun.
Absolutely. And what's funny about Return of the Living Dead is the day that that takes place is literally on my sister's day of birth.
Oh, wow.
My sister was born July 3rd of, and the same year she was born.
Yeah.
So literally her day of birth is when that movie
was. Was that 83?
83. Mm-hmm. 83,
yeah.
Or no, 84. Sorry, 84.
Did the hospital get their supplies from UNITA?
Do what?
Did the hospitals get their supplies from UNITA?
Yes, actually. And then weirdly got a call to send more paramedics. It was weird.
Yeah.
They were short-staffed that day. So yeah, Return of the Living Dead, absolutely. Oh. Also one of the best horror movie soundtracks ever.
Oh, right. The midget zombie.
Oh, God,
damn it. That shit kills me every time.
Oh, my God, it's the best. Now, a lowdown here next up with the coveted letter S.
Right, I mean, there's so many I could have gone with. There's so many, but based off my love for both people involved with the creation of this, even though one person really hates this, I'm talking about the 1980s, The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
King hates that adaptation, Kubrick fucking amazing. It's a beautiful movie. Beautiful movie. It's
stunning.
Movie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the performance by both Shelley Long and, you know, Jack Nicholson were, God damn, that's like Oscar-worthy shit they did, you know?
Wild Ram.
Kid can fuck off, dude. He's actually going to be at a con that we're going to. I'm just going to.
Are you
going to
tell him to fuck off? Like,
No, I don't. Maybe Sunday on the way out, so I don't get kicked out of the con.
Just be like, hey, man. Yeah. You.
Red rum.
With your middle finger.
With my middle finger.
You shove my red up your rum. Yeah.
Whoa. Dude, you're being really weird and rapey tonight.
It's that panda. It's that panda wine.
It's that panda juice.
But yeah.
So watching The Shining is actually appropriate for this October because Dr. Sleep is going to be coming out in November. That's the sequel. The novel's great if you haven't read it. But
it
I'm excited
great.
For, it's Mike Flanagan who did it. He did Haunting of Hill House Oculus and those types of movies. Annabelle.
He did the good Ouija movie.
The good Ouija movie, yeah, exactly.
There's a good
was
one.
Was it Origin?
Yes.
Yeah,
Origin
good.
Of Evil. Yeah, exactly.
Origin of Evil is solid.
He's a great director, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's doing good stuff.
I just wrote off the sequel.
He was
the sequel's really good. The first one sucked, but the sequel's great.
Okay,
it's really good.
I actually used Mike Flanagan recently on Smack My Pitch Up as my directing choice for a movie. So
nice.
I mean, he's got a really good record of movies.
Yeah.
So, good choice. Yeah, absolutely. Now we got for me for the 20th of October. We're starting to get close. Starting to get close to Halloween for the letter T. Again, one of those letters. There's so many choices, not counting the. But there's so many choices for here. But I had to go with one of my absolute favorite movies of all time. One of the greatest slasher films and has been ripped off more times than I can fucking count.
Rob Zombie.
By Rob Zombie exclusively. and the Wrong Turn series as well.
Yes.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, of course.
Fantastic. And we're talking 74.
Yeah, the Toby classic, Hooper. The original, the
who
glorious,
will
not gory movie.
What will be left?
I love that poster. Right.
Secrets
Such a great
in the
poster.
Meat.
I have it in my house.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
It's in my bar.
Has surprisingly little gore in it, but it suggests gore to such a way that you think of it as being an incredibly gruesome movie.
It doesn't have a lot of, you know, overly done gore, but I mean, there are some scenes where, I mean, he straight up hangs a chick on a hook, and I don't think that's been done in a movie before.
But you don't see blood in that scene, but you hear blood dripping into the pan below.
I don't need
so
to see that
that's
to
what
feel
I mean.
It. Yeah,
it's
I know.
Suggested.
It's suggested. Yep.
That, and I love that Hooper pushed the cast so hard that the scene, I think it was in the gas station where she runs in and breaks down crying. She actually lost it because the day was so long and they'd been working so hard. She loses it and Hooper just kept rolling. And used it.
Yeah, I think it was a really tough film. It was a tough film to shoot. The conditions were so hot that the actors were just covered in sweat.
Fucking Texas
summer. Saying, it was really hard.
And
to,
super low budget. So it's not like they had, air-conditioned trailers. But also, as I was talking about earlier, with certain little hand motions or movements or things that I remember and it just makes the movie that much more important. When the dude gets hit over the head with a mallet, and then he starts doing the like the shakes,
jerking
on the floor, and then gets dragged behind the door is such a visceral moment of it. That's when I started learning about like twitching after death and stuff, where you go into like the death throes of your body's just naturally having the synapses start kicking and stuff when you're like deeply brain damaged or dying.
Right.
And that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Jim with head cut. And we actually had the joy of going to a con where Gunnar Hansen was there and he did a panel.
Oh, cool.
I actually went in and paid for the photo op for him in full Leatherface costume, but he mentioned in the panel, there's a scene there, and it's towards the end when Leatherface is running back in the house and he kind of stops at the door and looks around and then he runs up the stairs. That was on accident. They had gotten really high and then he forgot what he was supposed to do and then he remembered he had to run up the steps.
Oh my God, seriously?
Yeah, he said the whole cast just sit around and just smoke weed. He was like this fucking heat and we had to take a break during the hottest part of the day.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And he was just like, yeah, I was high as shit and I forgot where I was supposed to go.
It's amazing.
Funny.
Yeah,
don't fix it.
Keep rolling.
Keep rolling. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right.
Next up, let's see. We got for the 21st of October. Katie, what are you bringing us for the letter U?
Are you sure you just don't want to talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre for the rest of the night?
I mean,
yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
We could though.
Yeah, exactly.
We could.
All right. So I'm going back to the 90s, and this was a time where we just did Scream. So we just talked about Scream. Scream came out, and then I Know What You Did Last Summer came out, and then shortly after that, Urban Legend
Urban Legend.
Ooh, nice. What I think is funny is that I imagine Scream kind of being, okay, so that was a teenage girl in the 90s. So Scream was my NSYNC. I Know What You Did Last Summer was Backstreet Boys. And then you have Urban Legend, and they're kind of like 98 Degrees. They're like, just kidding. They're there. Like, they want to be part of the club. But I actually really love this movie.
They're not quite O-Town.
They're not quite, but, yeah, exactly. But Urban Legend is really great. It's got Joshua Jackson, Rebecca Gayhart's in it. And that was, so again, grew up in the 90s, my childhood. That was the first time I ever kind of learned what an urban legend was. Mm-hmm. And then I took a deep dive into that. And spoiler alert maybe for a 21-year-old movie, but it's one of, you know, it's got a female killer. The killer is a female. And I love that. So good performances and good stories. It's good. Yeah.
Nice.
I love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah, I like that. I haven't thought of the Urban Legend in forever.
Yeah.
That's the next one that MTV is going to do a series of. Yeah. Like, we got Scream, so let's just do, Urban Legend. Will, you got the letter V for yours for the 22nd of October.
So this one, at first thought, posed a little bit of a challenge. I was like, what the hell starts with a letter V? Then I went to my wall of horror films at my house, and scrolling down, I'm like, all right, V. Village of the Damned.
Ah, yes.
John Carpenter, yeah. Creepy Children.
Oh, you're not talking about the original. You're talking about John Carpenter.
I wanted the John Carpenter one. Because I needed a John Carpenter movie then there, too.
I get it.
And not the original, which is good, but I still...
No, I get it.
Isn't Christopher Reeve in that?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
It's been a while since I actually watched it. I mean, obviously, because I totally forgot I even owned it.
No, it's not. It's not terrible. It's not. But it
it's creepy Aryan children.
Right. That's one where the kids are all like super blonde, and really pale. Yeah, it's that creepy. Poster and cover is creepy.
I also picked that one because for B, I didn't pick The Brood.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to get creepy.
I had to get my creepy kids in somewhere.
Yeah, The Brood. Oh, that's such a creepy fucking movie, man. Brutal, strong fuckers.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Awful. Yeah. But yeah, so I picked Village of the Damned.
Oh yeah. That brings us to W for Lowdown.
Now, there were two movies I was bouncing between that had the same similar title. So I was going to go with The Witches. That's a classic.
Oh,
that's
I
a
love classic. The Witches so much.
Yeah.
It's a classic. That's it's being remade. You know, I don't know how that's going to work out. I got my feels about that. But I decided to go with a newer one, trying to bring some newer, really, really solid and amazing newer horror movies. I'm talking about 2015's The Witch.
Yes.
I love The
fucking
Witch.
Awesome.
Fucking good.
It's just a great fucking movie. Robert Eggers directed that. I mean, talk about a slow burn, but not too slow where you're ever bored. Like, you're just constantly
just so
like, what the fuck?
Creepy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so like ethereal creepy. Horror.
There's a scene where the mom's letting the crow eat her nipple off because she thinks it's the baby because devils, you know, witches are fucking with her. And, oh, God, it's terrible. And it scared the shit out of me.
The director is actually coming out with a movie shortly.
The Lighthouse. So excited. It looks bonkers.
Yeah. Fucking was it? Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. Yeah. I am really looking forward to that fucking movie.
It looks definitely real good.
This is going to be, again, another haunting kind of visceral, very... Ugh.
So I loved The Witch when I saw it in theaters, but they have that really, really thick New England accent. So I watched it again and then watched it with subtitles, and I ended up liking it like way better because I was like, oh, they said that. And whereas I thought they said that, but The Witch is awesome.
I do like it when they don't pull back the accents in
movies.
No, me
too. I loved
it. There's a couple of Irish horror films that are really good that they have the super thick accent and I have to watch with the subtitles.
Exactly.
Even though they're speaking English.
Yeah.
Because their accents are so thick, and I prefer it that way.
Me too.
I like how they kept it that way. Except for the devil, he kind of is the only one that was completely
very
understandable.
Very clear and deliberate.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to The Lighthouse and The Witch. Yeah, I'm putting that on the list. I'm gonna watch that sometime soon because that's just
I need to watch it again.
Such a creepy movie.
Yeah. Yep.
Now that brings us to me.
Either double X.
My X. For 24, I am doing Double X, which is a anthology series that wasn't a Netflix original, was it? Or
no.
Oh, that was a movie name. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it before.
No, you're fine.
I feel bad about that.
No, you're good. It was a horror anthology with all women filmmakers. So you were talking about earlier about the different perspective. Yeah, Double X.
Chromosomes.
But what I do like about it is that there is a consideration in the plot of a lot of these movies of it being a female-centric movie. Your like first movie right off the bat is about the well-being of the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, right out the gate. So it definitely shows that there is a different perspective that is being underutilized in horror by not having more women being showrunners, being filmmakers in the horror community. And that's luckily changing. There's a lot more female filmmakers and minority filmmakers that are going into horror, really building it out and making it more interesting, different directions and stuff. And I like that Double X is kind of showing that as being kind of a direction that things are going.
Wasn't one of the shorts directed by St. Vincent? I think one of them was. The birthday party one, I think. Yeah, it's solid. I enjoyed them.
I really enjoyed that anthology, and it's available on Netflix right now. So that's why I was wondering if it was an original or not. Yeah. But yeah, it's on Netflix, so definitely check it out this Halloween season. Even if you don't watch it on the 24th, but that's where we have it. So
yep.
Next up, back to Katie. We're getting to the brass tacks here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's about to start getting 25th real.
25th with the letter Y.
So I'm also really excited about this one. So when you think about the slasher subgenre, there's not a lot of films that, you know, it can get stale really easily, right?
Yeah, sure.
So it's really, really exciting when a movie comes out and it kind of brings a freshness to the slasher subgenre. So this one is You Might Be the Killer. So this movie is hilarious. It's a horror comedy, and it originated on a tweet. So two horror writers tweeted back and forth with each other in this crazy bonkers narrative of this guy who wakes up, he's covered in blood, he works at a camp, he's in this cabin, and he calls his best friend, who it's Allison Hannigan in the movie. She works at a video store, and he's like, hey, I'm in this situation, here's what's going on. And she goes, you it sounds like you might be the killer. So she like takes him through, walks him through. She's like, well, tell me what's going on, like,
this sounds rad.
Do you have a weapon in your hand? And all these people start getting murdered, and he kind of this main character, it's actually the guy from Cabin in the Woods, a stoner, we talked about him earlier.
Yeah.
He's the lead in this, and he's just trying to figure out like why all these people are dead. He's blacked out at certain parts of the movie. He doesn't know what happens, and he's trying to piece back together what has been going on, and his friend Allison Hannigan helps him to figure out
that's
what happened.
Amazing.
It's really good. It's very
some,
funny.
Some Whedon alumni
there.
It's like a horror memento.
Yeah, it is a horror memento.
Oh,
exactly.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm definitely checking that out.
Yeah, I need to check this out.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I do want to watch that. Is it on anywhere?
I watched it on Shudder. I'm not sure if it's still on Shudder, but
so
that's where I saw it originally.
You've been getting some good little treats on Shudder.
Yes.
So you recommend Shudder?
I absolutely recommend Shudder. Okay. Well worth the money.
Okay,
excellent.
Sweet.
That brings us to our letter Z. Now, we do have some top choices for our favorite horror movies right around Halloween after this. But for the last alphabetical choice for the 26th of October, Will is bringing the Z. And what are we watching?
So once again, there's so many great ones. Anything that had to do with zombies.
Yes,
and stuff,
absolutely.
I mean, obviously.
Or Zombies, where it's an animals. That, right. That's trash. That's total trash.
But Zombie
because because the sequel is coming out soon, I went with Zombieland.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Just, fun, newer horror comedy.
And God, I hope the sequel's good.
Me too.
I really do.
It's we wanted it so long, and like then they finally made it. If it sucks, oh God, it's like the new Tula.
Because the
Sorry.
Not wrong though.
But yeah, no, I mean, Woody Harrelson. How are you going to go wrong?
So good.
Right?
Jesse Eisenberg. He's fucking hilarious too.
And then my future ex-wife Emma Stone.
Oh. Yeah. She's for real though.
I want to ask the panel, what would, so you know Woody Harrelson loves his Twinkies and he's always trying to search for the elusive Twinkie. What would be your snack that you would like be so excited for if you found it in the zombie apocalypse?
Ooh. See, I'm not a normal sweet person. Like the only sweet kind of snack that I like normally is Reese's peanut butter cups.
Ooh,
like that's my
yes.
that's my sweet choice, I would say.
What makes the Twinkie so such a good choice for that is its shelf life. You got to think.
Yes, it lasts forever.
I mean, you could be 5 years down the road and you can still eat a Twinkie. Yeah, like, there's not a lot of things else out there that, like, a Reese's cup is going to taste like ass in 5 years.
That's true.
Get all chalky.
It's going to look like a white chocolate Reese's peanut butter cup. It's not good.
So, I guess, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's really hard to think about what would be my goat. What would be the thing I want? It's like, because after a while, I know it would taste like shit if I got it. You know what I mean?
Chips. Like, chips would be so
Doritos, but they'd be so stale.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be looking forward to like a can of ravioli or something because it's been a canned
SpaghettiOs,
food.
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, like just because it's been there. Like some spam.
Spotted meat.
Yeah. Right. Spotted meat.
What's your snack? Fucking sardines? I mean,
hey, at that point, it didn't matter, right?
Yeah, no,
just trying
enough,
to get fucking sustenance. But no, I'm with him. Anything chocolate and peanut butter, I would love to, at least within the first year.
Yeah.
Maybe
right.
It's 2 years.
Yeah, right.
Years,
load up while you can.
Yeah. Just get diabetes in the first couple of years and you're fine. Whatever.
I think I'd have to go. What's the shelf life on a Swiss cake roll?
Oh, see, probably
the same.
Similar to Twinkies.
Any of those
right?
wrapped
the
cakes,
hostess?
It's got to be the same.
It's got to be good because I've never been a big Twinkie fan, but those goddamn little chocolate Swiss cake roll—they probably get all fucking chalky too.
You think it's the chocolate, and that's what makes Twinkies even better, because it's just like a sponge cake with or a cake-like substance with some sort of cream filling. Yeah, I'm just saying, like. But, you know, there might be the chocolate that makes it get kind of
iffy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's your pick?
Oh, I'm sorry. So, but it's Doritos. I freaking love Doritos. Yeah, but Doritos
call.
Will
get
really
get
stale.
So stale.
Yeah, I'll rethink that. I'll just hoard all of them and then eat them quickly, and then.
No, I mean, you probably have actually a couple
lament
of years,
them forever.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like I said, once you get to like a 3-4 year mark, you're probably not. Yeah.
Maybe you can toast them up over something.
I like the way you think.
Get them on the fire. Draw some of
the
moisture out. Yeah.
All right, now let's get into our greatest hits here. We are now done with the alphabet, so now we're going into the ones, the must-see movies, the ones that you absolutely need to watch during the Halloween season, especially around Halloween. And Lowdown's going to bring us in with your first choice. You get two.
I get two. My first choice, I went a little bit lighter on this one, but it is a must for me every year, and I probably watch it once or twice throughout the year, too. But anyway, is Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives.
Nice. Oh, nice.
That is my favorite of the franchise.
Oh, I love
fucking
that.
Love that
awesome.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So CJ Graham is probably my favorite Jason. He only did the one movie. Awesome dude in real life and also a massive mountain of a fucking man.
Mountain of a person, yes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's like 6'5". It's ridiculous.
Fantastic choice. And actually kind of like goes over into mine relatively well because you've always been more of a Jason guy, whereas I've always been more of a Freddy guy.
I'm a Michael guy.
Oh, no, you're a Michael guy, but
I'm not doing Halloween specifically because, Halloween.
Because, Halloween. And that's the thing. We're not doing the Halloween movies for the most part.
It's
because,
a given.
Come on.
Seriously, people.
For me, I went with the Freddy Krueger, and because that's my guy. That's my slasher. And my favorite of the movies, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors is the best.
Yes,
when you have a title song by Dawkins.
Yes.
Singing about that Dream Warriors.
Rocking so and docking.
And some of the best lines, you know, in my dreams, I'm beautiful, chicken and bad. It's so good.
Welcome to prime time, bitch.
Welcome to prime time, bitch is so good. And then there's a wizard guy and like Freddy's a snake person that's like eating and like it's
the
all.
The effects
it's
are so, fun.
Yeah. That looks like a penis. By the way.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a penis.
It looked even more like a penis with the coloring they use. They used like a pink coloring on it before it made it gray. So it looked literally like a dick.
And also the marionette scene is also fantastic.
So but even like when they actually made him a puppet and he cut himself down and him walking across the floor, that was pretty fucking rad too.
Yeah.
Remember he was a little puppet on the wall, hanging on the wall at first? Yeah, that was rad as shit.
That movie is a great movie. I count the number of times that I've seen it, and I still just absolutely love it. It's such a fun ride, and definitely worth kind of leading into Halloween. I got to give some love to Mr. Robert Englund, who we've been able to interview on the show, and also just a fantastic slasher, Freddy Krueger. So, Dream Warriors for me.
I got my Freddy glove necklace on right now.
Nice.
My Freddy claw glove.
Excellent. Uh-huh. Somewhere got a Freddy Krueger glove chopsticks.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Loot Crate, right?
That's really
loot crate.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a Loot Crate item.
Awesome.
I've got
awesome.
The entire costume.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've got parts of the costume everywhere.
Including the glove that was actually like a limited release where it was actually made of metal.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, the thing is... Actually,
oh, I remember like, you came on a Halloween episode dressed as Freddy, and you kept clanking stuff because you had the metal glove on. You're like, this is a stupid idea for me to wear this to, this, to an audio podcast.
Yeah,
I had to take it off. Like, yeah. You're like, yeah, I need you to stop.
But it was totally, it was solid metal. It would fucking murder somebody.
Right, like that's an actual weapon.
Yeah. You could have, I mean, it wasn't nice metal, but you could have sharpened the blades and it had done it.
Yeah. Done the trick.
Remind me not to mess with this guy.
Yeah. Right? All right. So
now we're going into Katie's choice for best Halloween movie.
So my ultimate Halloween movie is actually one. So on my blog, Nerdcropolis, I wrap up with this movie every single year. This is my eighth year. It's Trick or Treat.
Yes.
2007.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. You get five stories into one movie. So it's the anthology. And they're all really, really good.
Well, and then you got a wrap up story all the way around.
They all intertwine.
They all intertwine. Exactly. Yeah. They all are connected, interwoven. The characters cross paths
movie.
And it's just wonderful. And Sam is such an icon. He has become an iconic horror character now.
12 years, you know.
And just about every horror con we've been to, there's always a little kid dressed as Sam, and it's the most adorable thing ever. It's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my favorite story is the one with the Halloween bus massacre, where it's a prank gone wrong, and they go out and they see all these awful children who were murdered and massacred on a school bus.
Get all the pumpkins and they go down that story?
They go down and they like descend into a quarry or something.
Yeah, but it's when the kids in the present.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and then like the one girl just leaves them there.
Right, exactly.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that movie rocks. I love it. And we're supposed to be getting a sequel. 2013, they announced there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
There's no damn sequel. Where's my sequel?
Well, it's horror movies. You know, they'll announce a sequel and then 10 years later, they'll finally come out with it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Looking forward to it if and when it happens, but again,
we'll see.
Mm-hmm. So that moves over to Will. What is your go-to?
I've done a whole lot of campy movies. One of my favorites, Monster Squad.
Yeah,
fuck yes. Someone has to mention
Monster Squad.
We hadn't brought it up all night. So
Wolfman has nards.
Yeah. That was another hard PG. PG-13 movie. That was a fucking hard one.
This one was, because we talked about it.
They dropped some language in that movie that is
there was
kind of not
language.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the 80s.
We talked about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 80s.
A lot on the Universal episode.
Yes, I think so.
But it really was. And it was that movie that I saw as a kid and then it just disappeared for a while. Like I knew of this movie. There was somewhere where Wolfman get kicked in the nards.
No, I knew what movie it was. I signed an online petition to get it re-released on DVD. And then one day I walked into Plan 9 and it was there. Like it had just been re-released and it was for like $13.99. And I was like, yep, okay, well, that's what I'm buying.
Yeah. Monster Squad. Yep.
When the re-release finally happened, I was like, oh my God, there it is. I haven't seen this in over a decade.
Were you at the point where you weren't sure if you were hallucinating it or not?
Yeah, you had been so long since it, because it fucking vanished for a while.
Whenever someone asks me, like, I have a kid, he's 12, 13. What can I, what movie can I watch to introduce them into horror, get them into being a fan? I always recommend Monster Squad.
Monster Squad's
perfect.
That's
movie.
A good one.
It's a good entry into it. Yeah.
Just to get me into like the scary side where there's monsters kind of coming at you, because it doesn't have a lot of the gore, not a lot of jump scares
it's
per
just
se.
It's really fun.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, Monster Squad for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Now, Lodon, going into your last choice of this episode, your Halloween, your 31st of October, must watch non-Halloween movie.
I was going to say non-Halloween, because obviously
Halloween.
I would say all those, but non-Halloween movie, I'll have to go with Damien Leone's 2016 Terrifier.
Yes.
I still haven't seen it and won't.
Yeah, you do not need to watch that movie. If you can, if Pennywise fucks with you, this, dude, he Art the Clown will
he is
fucking
a scary
okay.
clown.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, why do I remember? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Oh.
I love Terrifier.
That movie was so
cutting the woman straight
down.
Yeah. Straight down.
Let's
not spoil
it for anybody who hasn't seen it.
Sorry.
No, I mean, no,
you're fine. Yeah.
You're fine. I was just thinking, like, no, that's just definitely something I did. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I was like, oh, okay.
And it was so graphic.
Yeah, it didn't turn away. He's just smiling the whole time doing it. And you're like, what the fuck, dude?
Like, he has definitely turned
wearing wearing the boobs and he skins it. Oh, God, the movie's
fucked,
dude.
He's a maniac for sure. Yeah. What I also love about Art is that he breaks some rules about a typical slasher. There are some things that slashers don't normally do, weapons they might not use, and he just does it. He's like, no holds barred. I'm a lunatic and I'm super, super scary.
Yep.
Like, he is frightening looking.
And
I know. That's why I won't watch this fucking movie.
It originated on a movie of short stories, All Hallows Eve.
Yep.
And that's where Art the Clown, and it was a different actor who played him in that movie. And then they got this guy who actually looks creepy. His face is a little more slim and he's a scrawnier
like angular,
kind of person.
Like yeah.
No.
Fuck a clown.
Terrifier is amazing and disturbing.
I'd forgotten the name of the movie for a second when you said it. I was like, oh yeah.
It's fucking disturbing.
Yeah. It's been kind of polarizing. There are some people who really, really do not like that movie. I loved it. Yeah. Like,
no, great.
I watched it last year for the first time with my wife, and she will not rewatch it with me. She sees it in my streaming, like, you know, has the cover of everything. Yeah. And she's like, no, I don't want, nope, don't want to look at him. Like, because it's a
he's
fucked
scary.
Up movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yep. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
I just want to be around if he does.
No.
There's a sequel. There's a sequel coming out.
It's working.
Yeah. We're
working
in the works.
It.
Yeah.
So that leads to my Halloween movie. My on Halloween movie. Now, initially, I had picked Trick or Treat as well because that is absolutely, that's become one of those movies that you always watch around Halloween. I love that movie as well. But I also have a backup as well that was not mentioned, luckily. And I love this movie so much, and I know Lowdown at least loves it. Pumpkinhead.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Pumpkinhead's great.
It gets
underappreciated.
It is underappreciated.
Super underappreciated. Yeah.
I love Pumpkinhead so much. I watch it every year.
Great. Lance Henriksen does a great job as being this like loving father that has some revenge issues.
Right.
I understand that. If someone killed my boy, probably... You know,
rewatched it recently. I forgot how like just tragic and sad that starts out. Like that movie kind of exactly.
Yeah, like it's always streaming somewhere.
Yeah,
and so I usually watch it at least once a year. And it still gets to you in the end though. How like you realize that how they're joining together and the Pumpkinhead's face looks like Lance Henriksen. You're like, oh god, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But I figure Halloween, that's a pretty good choice for a Halloween movie.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
like
definitely.
Pumpkinhead. Yeah.
Pumpkin is fucking awesome, man.
Practical effects.
All practical
are
effects.
That suit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that guy, I don't know, whatever they use for that suit is
it's
fucking
amazing.
Gnarly.
Yeah.
So cool looking.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Again, we will post the calendar with all of our choices along with this episode, hopefully on the 1st of October, if not the 2nd. And you can just play catch up on the first choice if we're running a little late. We got a lot of shows that we are producing on this network, so we try to get stuff out on time, but things do happen. So we appreciate you sticking around, listening to all of our silly choices for the Halloween season. We're very excited to be bringing all horror, all spoopy for the month of October on Geeks Under the Influence. A lot of the other shows on the network will be following suit as well and getting nice and creepy.
Spooky.
Spooky, spooky.
Spooky, spooky. So yet again, thank you so much to Unmaker for letting us use their song for our intro. That will be playing through the month of October on all our episodes. Subscribe, rate, and review us anywhere you can for your podcast. And, you know, check out the other shows on the network, all of our social media, all of our stuff's at gypodcast.com. Where you can get all the links to our social media and stuff. I'm Mike the Hobbit, and as always, join us or die!
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit. Will, don't fucking encourage him.
Join us or die! Join us or die! Or I will swallow your soul! Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you felt to exist. We're here to take the so join us or die, join us or die, or I will swallow your soul.
GUIPodcast.com.